ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 थैंक यू वेरी मच Well, this is a thank you very much for making this smell like a Muslim rose garden.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishaya Bhutale.
We must decorate ourselves with signs of devotion. Today I want to talk a little bit about a subject matter which you all are very much aware of. It is surrender. Actually, it is described that full surrender to Krishna you cannot obtain by any process of sadhana. The only way to come to full surrender is that you have a realization, I should fully surrender my life to Krishna, which comes from within the heart. Even the spiritual master cannot tell you surrender fully and then you do it. It has to come from inside the heart. This is a very important point. However, when you are on the level of full surrender, then you are liberated even though you are in the material world. You are no longer in this material world actually. You might ask yourself, how does a fully surrendered soul think? And the primary quality of his thinking is that he does not think any longer for his own benefit. There is no thought that I have to work for my own benefit. He knows, I just serve Krishna. Thus, all my problems are solved. Can you from this definition understand how wonderful it is and how rare at the same time? Rare. Such a fully surrendered soul who only works for Krishna and has no idea to work for his false body and mind, he constantly swims in the ocean of happiness.
Hare Krishna.
Sto vislite. Sta, sta, sto, sta, sta vislite. What do you think, Madhav Muni? It's wonderful, isn't it? It is difficult at the same time. Srila Prabhupada once gave an analogy to help us understand the state of surrender. He said, a little fish is fully surrendered to the water and he swims very happily in the water. Whereas a big elephant, as big as he is, if he tries to cross the river, he cannot do it. The river will wash him away. In other words, if you become very big in this world, you will not succeed. You only can be successful in your life if you become very small Vinurati. It's an interesting concept, isn't it? It is very easy to become big. Just sing on the stage, learn dancing like our Vinurati, and you become big. Everyone thinks, wow. Or like our Madayanti. Madayanti is the representative of the Red Cross for humanitarian rights. We have to be a little careful what we say. It's not so difficult to become big. What is difficult is to become small, free from your false ego. And only if you learn this, you become extremely glad. I want to give you a little example. In the West, you think health means if you practice, get big muscles. In the East, you think health is when you stretch your muscles. When you stretch them. Now, the people in the East live longer than the people in the West normally, if they are healthy, what is rare. I mean, these. I have seen a Chinese master. He was just doing like this to the biggest boxer, and he was falling on the chair and had to rest for 3 days. Because he has learned this ancient art of becoming healthy, that is by stretching the muscles, not by contracting the muscles. Our whole Western health system, according to ancient India, is wrong. It moves the wrong direction. So in the same way, our whole Western understanding of life is wrong. We think we are successful when we become big. It's not true. We become successful in our lives if we become small. Small from the false ego. Because then we can be like the little fish who is happily enjoying God's creation in the water. Whereas the person who is enlarging, he will always have problems. Hare Krishna. I'm looking at you. Some of you pretend it has nothing to do with me. It has a lot to do with you. The moment you can just learn to become a humble servant of Krishna, surrender to his plan, not your plan, you will enjoy the happy ocean of Krishna consciousness life. As long as you make your own plans for selfish enjoyment, you will suffer to a smaller or larger degree. I remember once when we were driving from Beograd to Macedonia, we had a very nice realization. Our car broke down. It was not a partial breakdown, but a complete breakdown of the car. So I knew what to do. Now we have to surrender to Krishna. We had one devotee in our car who did not know what to do and was falling into the ocean of anxiety. Wow, so bad, we will never make it, and so on and so forth. The moment you surrender to Krishna, you become part of his plan. The moment you try to arrange your life on your own, you are part of your little plan, your little world, your little powers. The moment you surrender to Krishna, Krishna takes you. The moment you surrender to your own mind, the mind takes you. What do you want? Huh? Well, you say it so easy, it is very difficult. Now, to take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, the Puranas say you have to cross a mountain, a planina. That mountain is between you and Krishna, since inconceivably long time. It is called the mountain of false ego. It is there like the Himalayan mountains. You are here, Krishna is there, and the mountain of false ego is here, because that aham mameti concept is so strong that we just do not wish to surrender. We feel uncomfortable when we hear it. Dayan, Vladan, you feel not uncomfortable about the subject?
I must go in.
Yes, okay.
Good.
I thought running out. No, you please do buy the soap. Yes. Yeah. Hare Krishna. No problem. Shalim say. Most people run out when they hear about surrendering the false ego and serving Krishna. Because who wants to cross the Himalayan mountains? It is so hard, it is so heavy to cross the Himalayas. On our Tibet slides you have seen, we were trying to cross the Himalayan mountains, but it is very dangerous to do it at this time. 100 people had died before us when they took another path, because the mountain was breaking down. In the same way, when you want to cross your false ego, it can be dangerous, because the ego explodes. God, this is too much. I do not wish this. Those of you who are spiritual masters know that the disciples can be very nice and very nasty people at the same time. Because when the false ego revolts, you better go 100 kilometers away from the person, because it's an explosion. It's very heavy. The rocks come falling down. The false ego does not desire to surrender to Krishna. Just as it is natural for your soul to surrender to Krishna, it is natural for the false ego to hate to surrender to Krishna. We don't want to do it. We are totally opposed. We have a very strong opposition against this project. This opposition is going on since many lifetimes. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to make this concept of crossing the mountain of false ego a little bit easier for us, has told us what steps we have to do if we wish to surrender. I think if we hear we have to give up our false ego, it is a little abstract. Nanda Dulal, give up your false ego. Yes, okay, if you say so, but how? What to do? The first practice which you have to become established if you want to cross over this mountain is you have to practice each day the art of humility. You must somehow think of yourself as an eternal spiritual soul. When you wake up in the morning, Murari Chaitanya, you have to think, I am an eternal servant of Krishna. You have to do this you have to do this consciously. It is a meditation which is given in Shastra. This meditation is called the Buddha Shuddhi meditation. It goes something like this. You sit there and you meditate. Actually, in my pure spiritual essence, I have nothing to do with a body which is made out of five gross elements and of three subtle elements. Buddha means elements, and Shuddhi means you become pure of the elements by this meditation. Actually, when you enter the altar, before you enter the altar, you're supposed to think of yourself as an eternal spiritual soul. On a more advanced level of Buddha Shuddhi meditation, you meditate yourself as being very close to your spiritual master in his spiritual body, and the spiritual master is just approaching the divine couple Radha and Krishna, and you are following, carrying water, very happy you're going there, as your Guru Maharaj goes to the place where the divine couple sits and serves the divine couple by washing their lotus feet, and you're just there, here's the water, here's the towel for washing, and so on. On our level, we can very nicely meditate about this by when we wake up to think we are not the body. It's a very nice meditation when you look in the mirror in the morning and you see the same boring face. You can think, I'm not this body. Instead of thinking of tons of schminka and a nice brisura, you think, I am not the body. This is the first step you have to do when you want to cross the mountain of false ego. I remember when we crossed the Himalayan mountains, it was very difficult for me to just go over this mountain. I remember when going into Tibet, first of all, two times we had to cross over the mountain on our own feet, struggle like idiots up the mountain. And we had to have water with us to drink. Every half an hour you need to drink water when you are so high. Otherwise your body becomes dry and you get high altitude sickness, which is a terrible disease. So when you want to cross over the mountain of false ego, don't think it's an easy work. Each morning, Buddha Shuddhi meditation, I'm an eternal soul. You have to practice this. The next meditation, it is called self-surrender. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says how to meditate. A devotee should think, I'm not independent. I'm fully dependent on the wish of Krishna. Yesterday, you might have thought, you might have seen, we were in our program, and in our program, now we don't have so much flutes, violin, to engage the mind of the people. We just have a harmonium, and we are not perfect harmonium players. We know the melodies, but we are not so talented. I mean, maybe talented, but not so accomplished. And I remember when I went on the stage, I thought, "Ooh, this is a small village. Most probably we are too spiritual for the people." And I remembered, the outcome of the program is totally dependent on the wish of Krishna. I thought it was a nice program. because we surrendered ourselves to Krishna's desire. Can you say what the outcome of your marriage will be? No. Can you say for sure that you will be 100% Krishna consciousness in this lifetime, Murari Chaitanya? Maybe you will blue balls, or who can say? We don't wish this, and so on. Can we make even a plan for the next month what will happen? A total secure no plan. No. A devotee, he begins to give up this illusion that I can make plans for my life. He learns, I am subordinate to the will of Nasi Dragi Gospodin. He meditates about this. The will of the Krishna must be done. The self-surrender. The next point is, that you accept Krishna as your maintainer. You think, Krishna must take care of me. This is how a surrendered soul thinks every morning. In difficult times, it's very important to think, please, my dear Lord, please take care of me this day. I'm yours. Maintain me. I'm your maladetsa. Small, dependent person. This is called Goptritve Varanam. And the third is Krishna will save me. I have no other hope than Krishna. This means you accept Krishna as your protector in your life. Krishna will save me from this ocean of material birth and death. The next two things is that you try, this is the most difficult thing. You can only, after having been convinced, after being a humble soul, after surrendering to Krishna, after knowing he is your maintainer and your protector, only when you have done these steps in your psychology are you ready to do the second other steps. This is the realization of the great devotees, that if you don't go through the steps of thinking yourself humble and dependent on Krishna, you will not be able to do what is favorable for Krishna. And listen to this, reject what is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. I think you all know that we have many attachments still. What are our attachments? To music, kami videos. Most of us are attracted to sexual life in some way, either in a subtle or in a gross way. We want to be praised, that's a great attachment, almost insurmountable, and so on, and recognized. And only if you really feel sure that Krishna will maintain you and take care of you, can you give up these false material attachments which bind you towards material life. This is very, very important. In other words, if you say we want to surrender, you must go through these steps. As devotees, there are many things we have to surrender to, like following four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds, or now we are on tour and some of you are requested to engage in devotional service. Actually, I want to request all of you, each single one of you, to see what are the opportunities for service here. I can guarantee you that our tour will be 100% more ecstatic if each one of you makes this conscious endeavor to engage in devotional service on the tour, not just enjoy there and hang around and so on. Also, our preaching will be much more intense and pure, and we will attract many more conditioned souls. But I leave this step up to you. I can guarantee you, you will not surrender to Krishna in this life if you don't do these practical steps. You will even not surrender to devotional service on the tour if you are not consciously going through these steps. It's like an exercise which you must do in order to surrender. Otherwise your surrender will not come about. It will be a foreign element to you, and you will stay in the world of false ego. You know, these steps are very important. I want to request now our Atta, who is a religious scientist, to tell us what are the six steps of surrender. You can take your notes if you want.
First step is to practice character of humility.
What does this mean?
This means when in the morning we wake up, we have to think that we are part and parcel of Krishna, that we are surrounded by Krishna.
Yes. Then?
That is first step. And then second step is to think that I'm not independent, that I'm fully dependent for the will of Krishna. And then third step, think about Krishna as our maintainer. That's third. And fourth is then to think that Krishna will save me from the ocean of birth and death.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, I do not believe that Brahman will save me, but Krishna will be definitely merciful to me and deliver me. You're expecting Krishna to do something in your life, to be merciful. If you do not, if you never think that Krishna can show you your mercy, he will not do this. Like in Subhoticha, there was a devotee who said, I don't think it will work. For this devotee, it will not work, Krishna consciousness. Because if you already think like this, you have a shield around you which protects you from the infiltration of Krishna's mercy. You must have this hope. Even sometimes it said, against hope, this will work. I can also get the mercy of Krishna. Even me. If you doubt it from the beginning, you cut yourself away from the milost Krishna. Because he can't push the mercy on you. He doesn't do this. He's also a person. Imagine someone comes to you and says, I doubt that we will ever have a good relationship. I just doubt it. You think, all right, you're free. I have my life, you have your life. You immediately, a distance is created, isn't it? I doubt it. I doubt I will ever like you. What will Krishna do? Next is Atze, yes.
And next is to leave everything which is unfavorable to the personal service, and accept everything.
Now, this type of surrender will come to two types of people. The first type of person is he who feels that material life is very miserable and he cannot live without Krishna. In other words, it's a type of forced surrender. He is very miserable and he just feels, I must now surrender. He's forced by the circumstances. This type of surrender is not so good. In the Second World War, my father did this type of surrender. They were all surrounded by the Russians. My father was in the group of the last Germans who fought against the Russians. Everyone had gone already home or had died. And they didn't know that they had lost the war. So finally they saw, he described it like this, there were about 50,000 Russians surrounding a group of 1,000 Germans, and they were there with guns, and they really went, if you don't surrender now, we will all shoot you. And then they said, oh, all right. And they surrendered like this. But of course, they were always making the plan how to get out of the situation, which they did not like. Always. They made plans how to run away, and then they ran away when there was the first situation. The other is that a devotee voluntarily understands by his own Krishna consciousness, oh my dear Lord, you are just so wonderful, I want to serve you, I want to be connected to you, I want to live a spiritual life, I don't want to be a materialist. This is not my interest any longer. And such a devotee, he has the best chance. It is said, such a devotee will, in the beginning, before he does anything, he will think throughout the day, my dear Lord, I'm doing this now for your pleasure. I will do this for your pleasure. For instance, a devotee will make a program. He will think, my dear Lord, today I will sing for your pleasure. And I will preach so that the people turn their attention to you. In other words, before every activity, he says, this is for you. Or when you dance, Venurati. Before you start, you will say, my dear Lord, I will dance for your pleasure today. Or when you cook, today I will cook for you. This is how you can learn this art of surrender. That is, before you do an activity, you meditate consciously that this is what you will do for the Lord. This is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. When you chant, for instance, you think, I will chant now for you, Krishna. You will see that the quality of your devotional service will improve 50% or 100% maybe. If you consciously think, my dear Lord, I will do this for you. This is how you can do. In a Hari Bhakti Vilas, it is said how a surrendered soul thinks. With one's body, I live in the holy place. O Lord, I am yours. I therefore go to a holy place. This is how in the old times Vaishnavas would live their life. They would go into the place where Lord Krishna was, in the holy dham, and they would just stay there. All our Gaudiya Vaishnavas would have the dream, When I have lived my life, I will just go to the holy Dharma and stay there. It's just like if you have a person who you like very much, you will say, I will visit that person and stay there. Isn't it? You want to be close to the person, very natural. So in the old times, devotees would just go to Vrindavan and stay there because Krishna is there. Here we know that it's not so easy to just go to Vrindavan. We know that also 90% or 80% of the devotees who come to a festival don't arrive in Vrindavan. They never get there. They reach only the surface of the holy place, that is the Loi Bazaar and the Bhojanstali and the places where the Guru Kulis meet the other Guru Kulis for making, you know, dating it's called, isn't it? It's very strong. We can ask Venurati where these places are. She knows, because in this you were young and you there's a MTV is a place that I noticed, because I was always going by them and I they were always going, Maharaj is coming. I said, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Maharaj is gone now. Because I lived in MTV, certain places. This is. They never come to Vrindavan. It's a pity. So in the old times, devotees would just surrender the holy place and they would make themselves totally dependent on the Lord. They would do what is called madukari. Madukari is they would subsist by just begging. And I was asking the Brijbasis, how did this old system work? And they said, very simple. We would, in the old times, make two extra rotis. You know, these are big rotis. And we would calculate, about six people will come to our house to do madukari, and we would give everyone who would come the third of one roti. In other words, the society was equipped to take care of these surrendered souls who were just giving up their own concern about Krishna, you have to take care of me. And it would work, because the Brijbasis would think, well, they're so nice, these people, we will easily give them. When you are in Vrindavan, even now, the Brijbasis are so connected with Krishna, they will give you, if they see that you are serious. Brijbasis can make you a hell. They can rob you. They can go with a pistol, Radhe, Radhe, give me all your money. and so on. And this happens to many devotees. But if the Brijbasis see that you are very sincere, they will adopt you as your son or their daughter. They will say, you are now my son. And then they will make Rakshabandhan. You know, they will give you a rope. This means you are bound to the family. You cannot go. You have to come and eat more. and so on. Because they are connected with Krishna's system. But if you are not there for surrender, they will also rob you and steal all your Serbian dollars from you. in the mind, such a surrendered soul thinks, I belong to you, my Lord. I just belong to you. In this way, one enjoys spiritual bliss. No, sorry, it goes like this. The verse says, with the body, one lives in the holy place. With the words, one says, O Lord, I'm yours. One just says it, I'm yours. And in the mind, one knows, I belong to the Lord. In this way, one enjoys spiritual bliss. One just enjoys spiritual bliss. This is how a surrendered soul thinks. Now, as you all know, it is not very easy to come to this state, because our heart is so polluted and we feel so separate from the Lord. And we can't, as we said a few days ago, we can't force this state of surrender in our heart. It is like grass. You can't pull grass out of the earth. You have to water it and cultivate it so that it grows. This is how you must cultivate the surrender in small steps. Srila Prabhupada was very expert in bringing us to the states of surrender. He gave us devotional service to perform. The easiest way to learn surrender is if you have a devotional service which you do, and you do this with full surrender. Let us say, give an example. You are a cook. So you cook very nicely to please the Vaishnavas. And you are standing every morning there and doing your cooking work. Or let us say you're a preacher. Then you think of different ideas how you can bring Krishna or people to Krishna consciousness. Or let us say you are a mother who has a child. Then you think of different ideas how your child can become more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. You see your child, in other words, as a Vaishnava whom you guide in his or her spiritual development as a service to Krishna. Whatever you do as a service for Krishna, you surrender there. This is how you can very quickly become a surrendered soul. What we had discussed at another time was that when you serve the devotee, when you do your service, you must learn one word. The word is called responsibility. You must take responsibility in your service for Krishna. This is how you very easily can think of Lord Krishna while you do your activities and very easily make spiritual advancement. You must accept this responsibility in your devotional service. My dear Lord, I'm doing this for your pleasure. And at this moment, you will see how Krishna takes over your life and how you begin to swim in this rarely obtained ocean of bliss. You also begin to understand how you're really dependent on Krishna. The moment you take responsibility, you begin to understand, I'm totally dependent on Krishna. This is extremely clear to you. But when you never take responsibility for Krishna, you cannot come to this stage to be dependent on Krishna. You can always go out, and if it doesn't work, all right. I didn't take it. It's not my duty. It's not my concern. I can imagine sometimes when one dances, one is also a little sick, and the feet are maybe a little hurting, and so, isn't it? It's not. It's actually this dance. It looks so easy, but you have to really concentrate, and when it, especially the when you go like this, and sometimes one is sick, and one really doesn't want to do this because one feels one is not in the mood really. But if one takes responsibility, one says, I have to do it, there's no one else who can dance today. I have to do it, it's necessary, because the people must get a nice impression of Krishna consciousness. And then you go on the stage, you're sick, you go, Nasri Taraki, Gospodin, please help me. And then you also experience the help of Krishna. But if you never take responsibility, like, I must do it, and Krishna, you must help me now, otherwise it doesn't work, how will you ever become dependent on Krishna? See, most of the... In Shastra it is said, there are six types of unsatisfying disciples. We will have difficulties in this spiritual life. I have to look at my notes. Yes. They're called seva adhamas. Seva means service, and adhama means they are not connected with dhamma. The first is the Ali disciple. Ali in Serbian means but. But this is not the Ali in Sanskrit means the bee. He's fickle minded. He comes to the flower. Then, oh, there's also another nice flower, and he goes there, and then he's on the tree. Oh, there is a nice rose there. He goes, and he's very fickle-minded. He cannot concentrate himself on things. This is the Ali disciple. The other is the Bana disciple. He will always criticize his spiritual master like an arrow. Then the other is the Jyoti Saha. I think this is what I always do. The procrastinator. Now this is a difficult word which we need to translate. Procrastinator. He says, not now, tomorrow. There's a German proverb, what you can do today, don't put to tomorrow. Yeah, I think it must be in Serbian also. Yes, procrastinator. I will start spiritual life tomorrow. Not today, so please. The procrastination. Then, the Stabdi Buddha. Stabdi Buddha is the servant who's lazy and inactive. Hare Krishna. Lazy and inactive. And then the Kimikaka, or the Kimikata, Kaka. This sounds interesting. Kimikaka. That is someone who refuses to do anything on his own. He will see something has to be done, but I will only do it if I'm told to. I really don't want to do anything on my own. He just doesn't wish to do it. And then the Preshika. One who, when he is given a service, he says, Krishna Das, can you do it, please? Hare Krishna. In this way, my dear devotees, we could talk more and more about our bad qualities. Have you noticed there are millions of analytical ways to talk about our bad qualities and our lack of surrender? But I do not wish to do to do this, I want to encourage you, start the process of your surrender in your spiritual life by finding out a devotional service which you can do, and then learn to take responsibility in this devotional service. Say, this is my responsibility that this works. And you will see, very quickly, you will drip with the nectar of the ocean of bliss, which will fall from you, from all the places of your transcendental bodies. This is our wonderful process of Krishna consciousness. I think in the in a few days we will all come together and talk about possibilities, how we can spread Krishna consciousness in a better way here in Serbia. I personally am very, very convinced that Krishna is waiting like a father for all of us. Please learn to walk. Please learn to walk. And he is encouraging us at this moment in our spiritual lives. And I want to request all of you to take this service in devotional service very close. Be very determined to do it, and take on your responsibility. Find your place, and I think we can do wonderful things. I have always liked very much to be in Serbia, because I have seen this, for me, mysterious situation, that there are very, very nice people who have very deep feelings and who can go very deep in Krishna consciousness. And I want to encourage you to belong to this group of devotees who can do this. And I'm 100% sure that Krishna will take care of whatever external difficulties there are, like our good name is not so good at the moment in the media. Our good name is not so good. You know what I want to say. It's not the right way to express it. Our fame is not so good. But I'm very convinced that Krishna will help us very soon to advance to a nice level of Krishna consciousness. All right. I want to end here and see if you have any questions regarding this. I have not said a very nice verse, but maybe I say, yes, Vladan. I'm sorry, I thought your name is Dejan, but now I know it's Vladan. Yeah.
Sometimes we lie ourselves, and something what is not Krishna's arrangement is such speculation. We said that it's maybe Krishna's arrangement. Sometimes we find in the shastras that this is okay, this is all right, but maybe this is not okay and all right. And sometimes, if something is Krishna's arrangement, we are afraid maybe it's not, maybe it is our speculation, maybe it's something else. If we want to be honest with ourselves, how we to know always, maybe not always, but almost always,
yeah,
that this is Krishna's arrangement, what is actually Krishna's arrangement? And what is not?
It's a very good question. I want to repeat the question again. How can we know what is Krishna's arrangement in, and what is our own speculations? And Ladam was saying, that sometimes in a certain situation we can lie, we can cheat ourselves by saying this is Krishna's arrangement, but it's really not Krishna's arrangement. It may be even Maya's arrangement, and so on. See, Krishna consciousness is the art of connecting with Krishna. If you are connected with Krishna, you will know. If you are not, you will not know. It's very, very simple. See, for instance, Prabhupada could very easily say, this is Krishna's arrangement. I know we all believed him, because we just felt, well, if he says this, he knows that. In Krishna consciousness also, you ultimately have to listen a little to your heart, and that heart must be a purified heart, and this is how you know. This is really how you know. It is Krishna consciousness, in other words, is something very, very natural. It's a, when you are an experienced doctor, you immediately know what should be done. I remember the last few days I was not feeling so well, and I was taking the help of a devotee doctor who immediately knew what was the problem, and immediately he told me what to do, and he told me certain things which I always did, which I must absolutely stop to do. And he just knew it, as in he looked at the situation and knew it. So in the same way, Krishna consciousness is something which you just know. And the example has been given, when you eat, there is a time where you just know this is enough now. You just know it. It's difficult to say how you know it, but you never fail. It's always correct, you know. There's this time when you are still in doubt, I think. Should I maybe... maybe I can eat a little bit more now. But then there comes a time where you know... where you just know it. Where even the president of the United States could try to convince you to eat more in kind words, but you would sorry, no. Yes, I'm poor. So the Krishna consciousness is as natural as this. How do you know? It's Prabhupada, he once said that there is a state in Krishna consciousness where a devotee can talk with Krishna. Once Prabhupada was asked, how do you know? He said, Krishna told me. Yes, so simple. I have a fascinating picture of Krishna. I should leave it here now. Yes. Where do you live now? In Smederevo, also? How do you know? Thinking of your life in Smederevo, you make Nitai clocks. Today I saw a Nitai clock, and then it's from you. Yeah. How do you know you live your life? What situations are there? What I very much like in this, when you asked me the question, I was Prabhupada, he once wrote in his very nice way, there is a television within your heart, Bladan. It is not that you have to purchase the television set. It is there in your heart. And God is also there. You can see Him. You can hear Him. You can talk with Him, provided you repair the machine. And this repairing process is Krishna consciousness. So it's like a TV. Somehow you see it very directly. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna praises Krishna consciousness as the highest religion, and he gives, he says, it's pratyaksha vagamang dhamyam. It's the dharma which can be perceived by direct perception. Pratyaksha. It's like you look and your eyes tell you there is this thing, and then you just see it. Now obviously this is a high state, but we are coming to the state. There are some things which you also know, which Krishna has told you, and He will tell you more. Most of the time I have found out in my own Krishna conscious life, if that helps. If you follow the things which are absolutely clear, where you know there is no doubt, then you make yourself ready for more instructions of Krishna. But many times we have to convince ourselves to do the absolute clear things, because it's not easy. Always we have still our material mind and so. Mm-hmm. Any other question? Dharma Setu Prabhu.
I have some thoughts which inspire me very much, and you mentioned in your lecture that Krishna is also the person, the path.
Yeah.
So I think for me it's very inspiring, because when I think in that way, I'm very happy, I'm very enthusiastic to do something, because it is not something strange, something different, something foreign.
Yeah.
But he is also a person.
Yeah.
So I'm very inspired to do something for Krishna when I think in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Is there also the question is there also something that a Krishna-like person does not have still?
But he does not have.
I mean,
your full surrender. that is the only thing which he doesn't have, and he suffers from that. He really suffers. He takes it to his heart. He wants it, and therefore he makes all these arrangements to send his devotees to give Vaishnava scriptures. To come in the form of the deity. Krishna really works hard to get us. Of course, when you enter into the Krishna dimension of the Leela, then you will find out that there are many things Krishna wants, but it always has to do with the love of his devotees. For instance, sometimes Srimati Radharani comes in the mood of Man. Man is where she is not desiring to see Krishna any longer. She becomes so heavy that when there is a black cloud, she immediately disappears in the house, because she does not want to have anything to do with black. She gives all her cloths which are black in donation to others, and she even doesn't come to the Shalagram Shila any longer. So Krishna hears it. Oh, I have no chance, I'm black. she knows, he knows Radharani is in this mood because she doesn't want to have anything to do with him. This is really the end of the relationship. And Krishna becomes very, very disturbed. I mean, extremely disturbed. At the end, he doesn't know anything else than to go to the lake, which is very dear to Radharani, Radhakund. And he will start offering flowers and incense to the lake. Please, my dear lake, you are dear to Radha. Somehow arrange that I come to her. Somehow. So this is all in the realm of love. Jayadev Goswami, he describes that Krishna is love personified. So in the world of love, there is only two considerations. You have a loving relationship or you don't have the loving relationship. So this is what Krishna, what goes on in the spiritual world. There are always newer dimensions of this. It's described, love never moves in a straight way, but sometimes in a crooked way. This is why Krishna has to steal butter. You know, Mother Yashoda gives him all the butter for Mother Yashoda gets a complex, you know. He's always stealing butter. Why? And then she makes arrangements. She picks the best bulls, the best cows. Pushpaganda, they smell like flowers, these cows. They're so wonderful. Ooh, they're very good cows. And then she will personally either go personally to cut herbs, or she will send 10 servants to cut herbs to feed the cows. So imagine, the cows have already the smell of flowers. Now they only eat herbs. Imagine how their milk must smell. Can you imagine? Little bit. We have to ask Venurati. I can't imagine this. But you have some concept. Very good. It must imagine only herbs in the milk. Herbs, these strong smelling herbs. What is a herb? Salvio. I don't know what the Vrindavan herbs are. I have to study this area. It's not yet known to me. How this milk must taste, we can't imagine. I mean, Venurati, you have to ask there. No, some have a concept when things come in. So then she makes personally, not by a servant, personally the butter from this milk and goes to get. Now you don't have to go. There's the best butter, there is no better butter. And Krishna tastes and then he says, I'm very busy, and then he runs away and steals butter from others. Because the butter is something else than just butter. The devotees think, I'm making this butter, and I hope that Krishna comes and steals it. I will hide myself, and then I will look if he comes and steals it. If he steals it, this is so good when he comes and steals it. And they become very ecstatic by this. So Krishna, stealing butter means he steals the love which the devotees have for him. So this love is sometimes very crooked. Why stealing, you would say? Well, why not do it in a more cultured way, But no, this love has many, many aspects in the spiritual world. And Krishna is the personification of this love. He will do everything for love. That's his nature. after here. I always, you know, stick my notebooks from books, some special nectar. No, this is about Mozart. Any other question which you have? Alexander, I'm sorry, I'm saying the wrong name here.
I have one realization. There is a little hankering in my heart that I'm automatically on the forsake of God.
Then you have hankering in the heart? There's your
I'm
automatically
on the false ego.
When there's hankering,
some desires, hankering,
desire,
some mental desires in my heart. I'm not even conscious what is, but it's some pain in the chest, in the heart, and I'm automatically on the false ego, and only after a long time then I become frustrated and. I become detached and step down from that false ego.
Yes, it's just expressed by the by material desires. We pull the knot of false ego. It becomes harder. You experience the hardening of the heart. Mm-hmm. It's to be expected.
And only the Maya
beats
me and I become detached, but is there another way to become detached?
Yes. That obviously these two ways. This is a general thing. Either through suffering or through knowledge. So you have to see which way you wish. You say that sometimes you say when you develop these things, they happen so imperceptible that you cannot apply any sword of knowledge because you don't know what happens to you. This is the problem, yes. But for this we can only offer one thing. You have to make a little advancement, Alexander. You cannot be an eternal child. And bhakti yoga to grow up. As you become more sensitive in spiritual life, then you will notice when this is. Mapati, the talented comics writer. Planina, yes. What? Not Planina, good.
You mentioned that we do not have to make some plans in our life.
Yeah.
So does it mean that we have to just work on a spontaneous level?
My dear devotees, no, some plans. You have to plan your life a little, obviously, but you know, ultimately you are dependent on Krishna. I mean, you have to plan your graffiti for your drawing pen. You have to plan to buy milk when the milk gets or fresh ghee from Madan Gopal. You have to do some planning in your life, obviously, but you need to know ultimately you are dependent on Krishna. Like this. Oh, Madhupati, but see, this is an. You could have given this answer much better than me to you. You must think. It's very important. Hare Krishna. Oh, this tour, so much planning from morning till evening. We do planning to have the nice places and so on. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Anything else? Yes. What is your name?
Darko.
Darko.
There is some act of rebellion in our head.
Yeah. So how to defeat this rebellion attitude? What is the need to overcome this rebellion in our head? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. In what way? Barasita, can I ask, I want to read you something from Prabhupada, what he wrote to this. Not there. It must be. It's called daily devotions and meditations. It must be on the table. Only this and this. Then it's in the white bag. Yes. Yes. Yesterday in the car I wrote, I read about this. Prabhupada says we must know more about Krishna and what he really is. He says, how do you know the president is the supreme person in your state? You know this through the government organizations, the constitution papers, and by traditional knowledge. Similarly, to know who is the supreme personality, you have to take evidence from the Vedic authorities, great personalities, and the spiritual master. See, when you need to find out more about Krishna, you need to study him a little bit from the Vedic scriptures, and you need to hear also about the lives of the great devotees, and you also have to listen to Srila Prabhupada, and then you will give up this rebellious spirit to Krishna, because you know he is a wonderful. Rebellious mood. It has to also, you need to purify the mind or the heart a little. But you need to also know what can your rebellious mood, will it help you? Have you been helped by being in rebellion towards Krishna? If I spit, you bad God, and I spit up, it only comes on my own face. We once saw in Germany a person, you know, who was who had no shelter. How do you say homeless? A homeless person. How do you say in Serbian? A bum, yes. Yeah, you know these people who have all their belongings in plastic bags. And I heard he was saying, "Oh God, why do you make me suffer like this? I hate you." And he spit up and it came up. I hate you more! Yeah. Has your rebellion helped you, Darko? It's not very helpful, this mood.
So he said, actually, he thinks in accordance with
devotees. For example, Srila Gopal told Teru.
Hare Krishna, what to say? Yeah. I think we all know this problem. Especially when certain devotees tell us something. No, I will never do it. Just because you said it. I think this is human. From this, we are human beings for some reason. Those who are leaders must learn to help people who have difficulties with them, where the biology doesn't work so well, to say it in a way that it's easier acceptable for our young rebellious bhaktas. It is, yeah. What helped me very much is to understand I'm not doing this for the person but for Krishna. Then you can do it. I have full understanding with your situation, Dako. I was the same. It was very difficult for me to listen to anyone. I think we all know, isn't it? When we're a little strong and then someone says, wash the toilets. No, I will not wash the toilets. And so on. If you see that you can do it for Krishna, then it's easy. Hare Krishna. Thank you for asking such an iskrinin question. Devotional service is for Krishna. I think we have now come to a good end. I don't know, let me ask you a question. I have a little doubt in my heart. When I talk so strongly about surrender, how do you feel? Do you feel encouraged or do you feel discouraged? I mean, actually you can't, this is a difficult situation because you know I want to encourage you and then you don't want to say I feel totally discouraged. When you hear such strong lectures about surrender, it is just meant to show the direction and to convince us. We need to talk again and again about this, that this is actually what we want. But when we can't surrender 100%, it is to be expected. We are normally osobas, you know. We are not Ramanujacharya or Madhavendrapuri or so on. But it's always important to know the goal. Srila Prabhupada said, when you are ruddering, you need to know the goal. When you are ruddering, rowing. I was thinking so much about this when we were going on the Palach Lake and you know, it's not easy to rudder. Sometimes you go in circles. When you, isn't it Madhavendra? I always in zigzag, always off the course. So if you don't know the goal, you will just, you know, go in circles and so on. It's somehow, it's like this when you are not very experienced in the ruddering. So in Krishna consciousness you also need to know your goal. Therefore we sometimes need to talk about surrender. Please don't think it. I want to make you feel miserable. It's about the goal. We need to know about this. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.